ജയ ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്ശ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം തിരിലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിശ്വപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോ പ്രേമനന്ദേ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namami Shripadaya Krishna Prasthaya Rudale Shimani Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarini Narvishesha Shunyavadi Ashadya Deshadharini. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോയത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരത ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാണി തേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തി യസൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ ഇംബാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്ധവരുദ്ധ്യേത്രകൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരൂർജലിതം ഫലം ശുഭമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാഭുവിഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹാദരമാജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനീതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം പുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂ കൊടിദാതൃതാനനിന്ദോഹം മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാ മുരാരേ മധുയിന്ന കണികാഭികാഭികാഭി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి అశాద్యాదేశదారిణి గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నంద వ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశ వ్యాసం హరిగదో గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః పీతాంబరం ధరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌముదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధా సహాయమది సుందర మందహాసం వదాలయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి కోమళం పూజయన్ వేణుం శమళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యవరం బ్రహ్మ వసదాం పురతో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం మంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం జల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానంద మాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమందిరాధియాయ నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధినాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణ మునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబద్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం నమోస్తుతే వ్యాసవిశాలబుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయదవక్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాయ స్తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్ససుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంసచాణూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనామర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పరాశర్యవచ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః ఏవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం జల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానంద మాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్ర మరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదై సాంగపదే క్రమోపనిషదే గాయన్నియం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుస్సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః.
So yesterday when we were discussing about the spiritual master and the disciple relationship in relation with these verses, we have seen that the logic and reason, what we talked about last night, that the logic and reasoning if there is proper devotion to the spiritual master or guru bhakti, If it is there, whatever the Guru has spoken, you can't apply any logic or reasoning in that. But you can use the logic when? When can you use the logic? This is the question. Till you know that the Guru is a self-realized soul. Up to that point, you can use the logic. Once you have known that the spiritual master is self-realized, then after that you can't apply any logic. This is the principle. Till you know that the spiritual master has a realized personality, he has realized the truth, that you have to know, that is your judgment. Till you know that, you have every right to apply reasoning and logic in your every instructions what's been given to you. After you have accepted, realized, found out that he is a realized person, he knows the truth, then afterwards, if he tells that during the daytime it is night, you have to accept it. That is the way that relationship works. People always have this confusion, isn't it? That's because there's a lot of charlatans there who are doing this business. So that is why this problem has come. We have to say all these things openly. These things were never spoken before. In reality, the relationship is like this, that till the spiritual master, till you know that he is a realized soul, in your own realization it has to happen. Up to that point, you have every right to use your reasoning and logic in all the instructions what he gives. You have got the right to do that. But after you have found that he is a realized personality, fully realized the truth, and he knows what he is saying, in which case you cannot use any more logical reasoning. That is where the demarcation line, when it comes that. And afterwards, whatever he says, even if he says during the daytime it is night, you have to accept it. You have to accept it. Because he is on a higher level. Naturally, once you accept that he knows what he is saying, and there you are not enslaving yourself. You are not becoming a slave anymore. And you are not becoming a slave anymore. Because through your intelligence, you have tested everything. And you have found out that he is a Sarvajna. He knows the absolute truth. Sarvajna means one who knows the truth. Satyadarshi, one who has realized that truth. Once you have known that, then it is very safe not to bring the intelligence anymore into it. You can take your intelligence away and you don't have to apply the intelligence anymore in your relationship with him. In your relationship with him. So, just like a small child, when the child enters into the kindergarten or the first standard, the teacher writes the letter A on the board and the child accepts it, isn't it? Child has no difficulty, child accepts without any questioning that it is A. Similarly, a personality who has realized the truth, or an acharya who has realized the truth, if he says to us that you are Brahman, you are Brahman, you are Purna Vastu, perfect in your spiritual realizations, whether you have understood or not, you have to accept it. That is the principle. Whether you have, there you can't apply logic and reasoning, but that is only when you are hearing from a realized soul. If a realized soul tells you that you are Brahman, that Purna Vastu, that Tattvamasi, Bhavakyam, when that is spoken, whether you have understood or not, you just have to accept it. Because understanding and not understanding, all these things is in the platform of the mind. In the platform of the mind. And truth, absolute truth, particularly is not for understanding. It's not for understanding. Satyam or truth is beyond the plane of mind and smriti, memory and the brain. It's beyond mind, intelligence or brain. The absolute truth is beyond the plane of mind or intelligence or brain, whatever it is. Therefore, whether you understand it or don't understand it, all this has no meaning at that time. In that state, all this has no meaning. So, therefore, the only choice is to accept it as it is spoken. And after you have accepted it, then you have to keep on asserting that within yourself and again and again establish that. So, here the problem is that mind will be there inside and mind will keep on saying so many different things from inside. Once Krishna's truth, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, if you have accepted it, still the mind from inside will tell you so many different things. Just like in some houses, you will see when the people get very, very old, what do? They'll keep talking without any sense, isn't it? After a while, you get used to it. You can't do anything about it. They're just talking. That's due to the old age, isn't it? And what do we do? I will say, don't give any attention to it. Let them talk as well. They will get upset with everybody and then they won't stop. They'll continue. We are all going to do it one day, but not there, but somebody else is doing it now. That's all. But this is what old age happens, isn't it? That in the olden, that's why I think nowadays everybody is sent to the home, so they can all sit together and talk as long as they want. But in the past, when the old people were living at home, this always used to happen. It's not a new thing. When they get very, very old, then they'll get upset with all the young people in the house. So nobody has time for them. They are also busy in their own way. So the old people get so upset and then they will keep talking about all their problems of life and they'll complain about everyone in the home, complain against everyone. They'll keep on talking. They won't stop. And after a while you get used to it and you will just ignore it. That's all you can do, isn't it? This mind is like that. The mind inside is like that. You have to learn how not to give attention to the mind. Not to give attention to the mind. This mind is a very old man. You have to remember that. Mind is old. Body may not be old. The mind is a very old person. For many, many lifetimes, this mind was inside acquiring data, information, like, and that's how you become old. Isn't it? The mind has become old in that way. And it knows a lot of things what you don't know. It knows a lot of things. So it will keep on repeating all that what the mind knows. You have to treat your own mind as another person living inside. And that is why it is. And you cannot give any importance to it. Let it say whatever it has to say. And that is its job. That's its job. So what the mind will tell you, so many things mind will tell you from inside. Bhagavad Gita is telling you something, but the mind is telling from inside, you are a jiva, conditioned soul. And and you are a very sinful person. And it also tells you, you got a lot of anger, greed, envy, lust and all other things. And you are in bondage and you will get old age, you will get sick, you will die. All these kind of things the mind will be talking to you from inside. That is the duty of the old man inside. The duty of Vedam, Shruti and the spiritual master is to tell us, you are spirit soul. You are pure. You don't die. You are not in bondage. You are Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Surubam. That is your identity. And this is the duty of Vedam and the Acharya. Just see how the two things work. One side, the mind will keep repeating everything what the mind has developed within. On the other side, Shruti, Acharya, Vedam, everything is telling us our real identity. Here is where the complex situation, that you have to ask, accept that time, you have to decide to give importance to the discrimination or to the Vedam or to Acharya, or give importance to the mind, which is the son of your false ego. Ahankaram's sandanam is, it is. False ego, its child is this mind. So, whether to give importance to the mind or to give importance to the to Vedam or to Acharya, that is a decision we have to make at that time. Then, in this situation, if you have made that decision, you have once this decision is made, then you have put your feet on a much higher level in the spiritual life. And this is exactly what Krishna is saying in the second chapter. Vyavasayalpiya buddhi ekeha kurunandana. That vyavasayalpiya buddhi is that. That at that stage you have made the decision that I'm not going to listen to this thing who is telling me from inside, this thing called mind anymore. Because he is just telling what he has got from all lifetimes, what he has accumulated. Whereas on the other hand, Shruti, Vedam, Acharya is telling us that we are spirit soul. Purna Vastu, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam Iti, is the nature of the Atma. It is not meant to be in bondage. It is not meant to be in... there is no difference between bondage and liberation. It doesn't exist for the soul. As Krishna says there, isn't it, in the Bhagavatam. So, this acceptance is more important than intellectual reasoning and logic. This is the most important thing. This acceptance of Shastram, acceptance of the Vedic injunction, is more important than your intelligence or reasoning or logic. Is reasoning, logic, intelligence and all that, you have to leave it behind. As we saw before, that that because Shuddha Buddhi Rasichet Matra Vastu Nasam Shayam, if your intelligence is very pure, that you cannot trust, you cannot doubt this injunction, Vedic injunction anymore about our nature or our identity. In other words, that Sattajit Sugarupam Asti Satatam Naham Najatvam Risha Najam Natvam Jagat Prakrishtam Akhilam Nasti Idi Yel Proktam Karunavasha Tvayi Maya. Vedam, out of its complete compassion, it is telling us, Acharyas are telling us, accept the truth. Accept the truth. Because once you have accepted this truth, what Vedam is telling us about us, then you will know that these three modes of material nature is all in the Prakriti. They are not in us. They are not in us. They are in the Prakriti. Because three modes of material nature cannot influence your identity, your spiritual identity. The soul cannot be touched by the three modes of material nature. That is the first realization. That is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam, Sattvam Rajastama Idi Gunam Buddher Na Chalpana. Na Chalpana. It's not there in the Atma. In your original identity as spirit soul, there is no modes of nature. Modes of nature is in the mind, body, intelligence and places like that. That's where it is. So we don't have to get too frightened about the modes of nature. Why we get frightened about the modes of nature? Because we identify with the body. That is why we get frightened with the modes of nature. That's the important point Krishna is making here. That the reason when although modes of nature exist in the Prakriti, Prakriti is nothing but modes of nature, and it has a powerful influence in our vyavaharam and everything. When it comes to the truth, the reality of our identity as the soul, there she cannot touch anything. She cannot do anything about it. So, our pure identity, she cannot touch. She cannot make it impure. Because our real identity is eternally liberated, isn't it? Nitya Muktam. Nitya Muktam it is. And in that liberated state, there is no bondage, there is no liberation. In that liberated state, there is no bondage at all. And there is no birth, there is no death. There is no fear, there is no lust, there is no anger. So, this you have to keep saying to yourself, about yourself. Because our depth of identification with the body is so deep now, in the present state, isn't it? So therefore, whenever Shastram says something to us, we are looking at with skepticism, isn't it? Shastram is saying all these things, but that's not my experience, you will say. That is due to this problem. Problem is that identification with the body. To come out of that, you have to know what Shastram is saying to us, what Acharyas are saying to us, what the Vedam Shruti is talking to us, saying to us that you are not. So this acceptance is more important than all your sadhana, than all your other things what you are doing in your life.
So I mentioned yesterday, in Shastram so many things are spoken. And they'll tell you in Janmashtami day you have to do all this, Ramnavami day you all this, Chaturdashi day you all, you will all accept everything, you'll follow it. But when he tells you that you have nothing to do with all this body and bodily identification, you won't accept it. That's where all the problem comes. That is what this situation is. So, Acharya, that concept, that problem is created by the mind inside. And mind, you have to know what this mind does. Mind is a very old person who is sitting inside and is constantly doing this. Pish, 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 going on talking to us. You say something, mind will say something different from inside. So, so you can see here that constantly you have to tell yourself, Asangoyam, 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 Puna Puna, Sachidananda Rupoham, Aham Evaham Avyayam. I am not this body, body is not mine, body is not from enjoyment. This you have to say to yourself, and that is the way to come out, to free yourself from the modes of nature. That's the way to free yourself from the modes of nature. For example, in your dream state, you are seeing so many things, but you don't give any importance to it, do you? When you wake up in the morning, in the dream state, a poor person becomes an emperor, and similarly an emperor becomes a beggar, and after he woke up from the sleep, he doesn't say, oh, I was a beggar in the dream state, or I was an emperor in the dream state. Similarly, as soon as you come to wakened state, jagrat state, you are rejecting everything. Similarly, in the wakened state, this mind is nothing but a dream that is working inside. Mind is nothing but a dream. It is nothing but a dream that is going on inside. And why should we give importance to that? That's the question. So, through discrimination and through intelligence, proper discrimination, one should reject the mind. One should reject the mind and not to listen to the mind. Not to listen to the mind. In the body, there will be so many diseases will come. And so many other problems will come in the body. Body is concerned. That's going to come. One day or the other it will happen. But body, I'm not the body. I'm not the body. So, practically you can see the connection with the body and the mind doesn't exist. It's only something we have cultivated ourselves by our own ajnanam, avidya. We identified with the body, identified with the mind, and that has become a disease now. And it is in that diseased state what we are now. We are in that diseased state. And that is why all these problems. As I mentioned yesterday, that the the dream, the body itself is a disease. Body itself is a disease. Because that is not in our Swarupam, isn't it? In our spiritual identity, there is no spiritual material body there. There is no bodily identity there. What's happened to us is that we have somehow or the other, due to what they call as adhyasam, that we have imposed this bodily identity on us ourselves and we started becoming controlled by the body. And nidra samadhi sthiti, that means that in the samadhi state, what you experience, you should experience in the deep sleep state, nidra. And if it is experienced, that shows that this soft, sushma shariram or the subtle body inside, where we carry most of all our vasanas, those vasanas has to be removed from there, which is known in the shastram as vasana kshayam. Vasana kshayam. That means dissolving all the vasanas that is accumulated inside. So here also, body is concerned, illness will come. Illness will come. Other problems will also come for the body. But at the same time, we have to be conscious all the time that it is in the body it is happening, not in me. Not in me. In my real identity as the self, as soul, these things cannot have any impact. It's all in the body, all in the mind. That does not mean that you shouldn't give food to the body or you shouldn't take medicines or anything. That's not what it means. But what that is all vyavaharam. That is all vyavaharam. And vyavaharam, whatever you have to do it to keep yourself going in this world. That's all. In the sense that the body should not become an embarrassment for the world. To prevent that, what is necessary you have to do. Because there will be, when you get sick, there will be a lot of
recommendations from a lot of people what you should do. Added to all what the NHS tells you, there are other people also will come and tell you that you should do this, you should do that, you should do that. Now, while you are doing all, you can do all those things, at the same time don't put your faith in that. Faith you cannot put in the body because it is not meant to stay. It's not meant to stay. No matter whose advice you take in this world, at the end it will go. On its own way, it's going to go. And which way it will go, nobody can say that. So therefore, you can do everything to please others or to satisfy the society or whatever the vyavaharam in this world demands, one can do that. But never to put your faith in those things. Never to put those. That's all. And not to put, go and drop your mind into that, because let it do whatever that has to be done in this world to satisfy in the vyavaharam state. Because in reality, to be situated in this platform of the soul and to continuously analyzing that, I am Brahma, aham brahmasmi, that stage, and I do not have birth or death, and my nature is eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated, nityashuddham uddhamukta swarupam, and none of these faults, what is in the world can touch me. That cannot touch me. Just like the space cannot be touched by the sky, by the clouds. Clouds cannot touch the space, isn't it? Similarly, a lot of chitavrittis are coming to me and they come and go through inside this mind. It comes and goes through the mind and cannot disturb me. And this we have to say to ourselves when we are alone, in solitude. You have to say this to yourself and establish this within yourself. Otherwise, what will happen is you will always be in the control of the mind. Mind will take control of the situation. This is why we are actually fighting against the mind. That mind which is giving us a lot of distress in life, that mind which makes us to identify with the world and the vyavaharam, which mind which makes us to identify with the body, and that mind cannot reveal the truth. Cannot reveal the truth. Actually, this is the mind. That is why Krishna is saying in the 6th chapter that mind is your enemy. And if you have learned this art of not allowing the mind to interfere in your affairs, then he is your friend. Remember that verse in the 6th chapter. He is your friend and he is your enemy. He is your enemy most of the time. Till you realize the truth, he is your enemy. Once you have realized the truth, he becomes your friend. Then he cannot give you any more trouble after that. Up to that point, he will remain as an enemy. He will remain as an enemy. So therefore, it has become necessary to repeat this to ourselves again and again, that there is no thing called birth. There is no thing called death. It's not good enough if you say once, or theoretically if you understand it, and in the brain, if you keep it, that's not worthwhile. It's not good enough. Like Parikshit said at the moment, isn't it? What did he say? He said finally that aham brahmam. That way he started saying this back to Shuga Brahmarshi, who was teaching him all these things. He's saying back to him, aham brahmam param dhamam brahmaham paramam padam evam samikshan almanam. Almanyathaya nishkale. So he is saying this to Shiva Brahmarshi now. After he experienced it, he is repeating it back to him. Repeating it back to him. And that is, till that stage comes, we have to keep, we have got the whole lifetime to do it. Parikshit had only 7 days to do it. After he heard from Shiva Brahmarshi in 7 days' time, and Brahmavadesham was given to him, and Parikshit accepted it. That was his success. That acceptance part of it is the most difficult thing. We don't want to accept it. We will accept any other rubbish in this world, but we won't accept what Krishna is saying. This is the problem. And who is doing this? Who is not accepting it? The mind inside. He is dictating from inside. How do you know that this is all true, what Krishna is saying? Like this way, mind will keep on putting questions forward and stop it. So, therefore, that that this this situation that I have no birth, I have no death, and these problems of the body is not in me, problems of the mind is not happening in me. This we all have to, these are all in our own language, whichever way we understand that, we have to keep talking to us. That's the only way that you can come out of this bodily burden or bodily identity. Vidyaranya Swamiji, who wrote Panchadashi, if you look at that book, you will see there, he says that if you ask this question, that through your imagination and mind, can you realize the truth in that way? Vidyaranya Swamiji's reply is like this. He says that he says that this world, what really don't exist, world which doesn't really exist, through your imagination you have created this world, haven't you? That's his question. If you can do that, the world what actually doesn't exist, through your imagination you are given reality to it and you have accepted it as the truth at the moment, is it not? But Alma, which is real, not like the world, world is not real, and that unreal world you have given reality to it, and you are living every day thinking that this world is real and the body is real, mind is real, and friends are real, society is real, the feast is real, everything is real. So you have accepted all these things as real. Actually, in reality, none of them is real. But the real thing inside Atma, which is real, Vidyaranya Swamiji's question is, why will you not realize that if you continuously take this attitude that soul is unaffected by any of these things? Because this body which is not real, the world which is not real, and you keep on creating this world and the body life after life, one life after the other, by through your imagination, isn't it? Through your vasanas and imagination, you are creating this another body, you are creating another vasanas, fresh body, and another world also you are creating, depending on another body what you get. So, if it is like that, something unreal which you can give reality to it through your imagination, why can't we do the same thing, something which is real inside, why this cannot be done? This is Vidyaranya Swamiji's question in the Panchadashi. He's asking this question. He was a great personality, Vidyaranya Swamiji. Swamiji mentions this. He said that why is it not possible to do that? And because everything is ultimately acceptance inside, isn't it? So repeatedly we have to take these instructions in Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and get the message correct. Message is this, Krishna is saying to us that the Satyam, what is inside, is consciousness, awareness, bodham, that is real. Nothing else is real here. World is not real. This is all belongs to Prakriti. Body belongs to Prakriti. Mind belongs to Prakriti. Intelligence belongs to Prakriti. World belongs to Prakriti. That is why in the 7th chapter, Krishna very clearly differentiated between the two as Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. And there, if you have studied that chapter properly, you cannot avoid acceptance of the truth what Krishna has spoken. Where he says there, Aparayam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho edam dharide jagat bhumi apanalo vayu kham mano buddhi evacha ahankaram idi yame bhinna prakriti ashtatha. Ashtatha prakriti, these eight things, mind, five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. Five material elements refers to the body, then mind, intelligence and false ego. These eight things Krishna is saying is Aparaprakriti, is Aparaprakriti, generally which is referred to as Prakriti. When we say Prakriti, it means Aparaprakriti. And the other one, which is what we are, Jivabhudam, Mahabaho Edam Dhairide Jagat, that it is in him, like that is like the screen, which one? Paraprakriti is like the screen. Aparaprakriti is functioning in this Paraprakriti screen. Cinema. Cinema is Aparaprakriti, Paraprakriti is the screen. In the screen of Aparaprakriti, this cinema of Aparaprakriti is going on. So, by giving Aparaprakriti, by continuously putting our faith in the Aparaprakriti, if we can give a reality to Aparaprakriti, Vidyaranya Swamiji's question is, the real thing inside, which is Paraprakriti, why can't that be given the reality? by giving the accepting that. This is his question. You can't be more straightforward than that, can you? That how much acharyas have taken effort in their books, they are constantly repeating this to us. It doesn't matter which acharya it is, they all have got the same thing. They are all telling us that the reality, vastu inside, which we, Krishna calls it as prajnapti, one devotee calls it as jnapti, other one calls it prajna, somebody else calls it kudastham, whatever it is, Krishna's presence inside, that is what we are, that is our identity, nothing else. We have nothing to do with this body, and this has to be brought back into us. We have lost that connection, we have lost that identity, we have to get it back again through constantly talking to ourselves about it, through the way Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vijayana Swami says here that this imagination or this bhavana in your mind, you have to start reverse way. You started in one direction, that is, you have gone towards the world in your imagination. World is real, body is real, friends are real, society is real, money is real, banks are real, all our assets are real. So many things has become real to us now. None of them is real, rather we have to reverse it back again. None of them is real, Atma alone is real. This is the point Krishna is making here. So, these three verses which we have seen now, Krishna is going to talk about that in a little different way. That means, tatra sattvam nirmalatval prakashakam anamayam sukasankhena badhradi jnanasankhena chanaka rajo ragalpagam vidhi trishna sangha samilbhavam and tan nibadhradi kaundhaya karma sankhena dehinam tamastu ajnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam pramad alasya nidrabhi tan nibadhradi bharada. Those are the three verses related to the three modes of material nature. So, like this way, in our material life also, in our material existence or material life, if the thoughts or imagination, what we have in our mind, you can see what we call it as the mood, isn't it? If you are in a good mood. What does good mood mean? Good mood means only this, that some mind is in a happy state, isn't it? In a happy state. That means mind is imagining something which is giving you some pleasure. That's all it is. Nothing has happened in the world. World is going on, but something in the mind you are imagining and it is giving you some pleasure inside. And if those thoughts are giving you pleasure, then you won't give it up. You will continuously absorb in that, thinking about it in various ways, isn't it? So, it is like that. That is why when Krishna gives us distress sometimes, it can become a blessing. It can become a blessing. Just like in the dream state, suppose you have some a nice dream you're going through. You're enjoying a nice dream in your dream. You're enjoying it nicely. And you don't want to get up. You will lie, sleep there. It will be more time. Enjoying that dream. Isn't it? This is us. All of us are like that, isn't it? So, just like you in the dream, suppose you have been made as an emperor or like a big king or something like that. But when somebody has come and woken you up, but actually you are a very, very poor person. You have nothing to food to eat. You are starving. But in the dream, you are a king. You are very well. And not only that, you had a kingdom and you are a big king and all that. But when you woke up, what happened? You lost everything. You lost your position and you lost your kingdom as well, isn't it? So, then you don't like to get up from what you are having it, isn't it? So, whereas, if in your dream state, suppose you are experiencing a lot of misery in the dream, you are very poor, you have no food to eat, and you are going through a lot of distress in life in various ways. Somebody comes and wakes you up, you feel a big relief from that. Is it not? This is daily experience. I don't know. To me it is like that. I'm sure it is like that for others also. Isn't it? So, it is like that, this distress in our material life also, very much so. Because if there is proper discrimination inside, then you can see that you will see the distress properly. You will see the distress properly. That is a law. That's a law. So this discrimination, otherwise you won't see the distress in life. You won't see the distress in life. Somebody is suffering, you will say, oh, it's for him, what does it matter to me? That's the way you look at it. But when somebody is suffering and you see that suffering, and if you have the discrimination, you will think also, there is distress here. It's not everything, what do they say, dingy-dory, isn't it? It's not. Everything is not like that here, isn't it? So, therefore, this discrimination power is a very dangerous thing. When you start discriminating things, you start seeing things in a little bit more realistically. You'll see things in the proper way. Therefore, that's why in the satsangam also, these things causes problem. Because in the satsangam, when you keep hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then you start seeing life in a different way. Then if you want to go back to your old way of life, it is very difficult to go back to that life again, isn't it? That you have to go further from here. Now, if you look into Bhagavatam, who said this? Sri Narada Maharshi mentions this. Very nicely he puts it. In the third canto you will see. In the third canto. How he puts it was, he says there that in the Vidura's words it is actually. It's Vidura who is talking about it. Vidura and Maitreya, they are talking to each other. The third canto. Yascha mudhagamo loke, yascha buddhe param gadaha, ta ubhav sukhame dede, klishyandi klishyat atyandarido janaha. He says, yascha mudhagamo loke, in this world, there is a class of people, majority of which are like that, they are called mudha. Mudha means that they don't know anything. All that they know is how to enjoy life, how to enjoy the senses. That's all the knowledge what they have. Nothing else. And to enjoy this body and the mind, they are willing to work hard, earn a lot of money, and then get absorbed in all the viharam in this world and finding happiness from there. That is called mudha. Yascha mudhatamo loge. They don't have any problem because they are busy with that. They are not going to change. They will be like that for whole life. Mudhatamo loge. Then there's another class of people, yascha buddhe param gadaha. They have gone well beyond from this world. Because yascha buddhe, they are intelligent people. They have realized the truth. They have escaped from here. They have understood the situation here very well. They have cultivated spiritual life and they have realized the truth and they have escaped. These two categories, Vidura says, they are always safe. These both. Then he says, Tav ubhav sukhame dheve. These both kind of people are happy. These mudhas are happy and the realized ones who have left this world, they are also happy. Klishyandi antarito janaha. Klishyati antarito janaha. There is one group like who are in the satsangam. Neither here nor there, suffering in this world. That is the one who actually suffers. This is Vidura's words in the Bhagavatam. Klishyatyandarido, klishyatyandarido janaha. That is where, till now the only way is to escape is to realize the truth and get out from here, from this situation. You can't go back now anymore, back to the life what you had before, where you found happiness in this world. Isn't it? In all the viharams of this world, society of this world, and friends of this world, society, friendship and love, what they call it in this world. All that you have understood, it's all false. And then you have left it. And you have taken to Krishna's Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And now it is difficult to go back to that again. But our problem is that we haven't come to this yascha buddhe param gadaha. That you haven't gone beyond this, we have not completely escaped from here. Hanging on in between. Like the Trishangu state. So that is what he is saying here. Yascha mudhatamo loke, yascha buddhe param gadaha, ta ubhav sukhame dede, klishyatyandarido janaha. It is the 17th verse. 3717. So, this statement in the Bhagavatam, he says here,
that Mudha is happy. Mudha is happy. He doesn't have any complaint. He's happy with the salary or wages or whatever he is getting from the office. And then he's happy with his family life and his so-called social society life. And he feels that he is recognized in the society. And society gives him a little happiness here and there, and he gets fully blissed out with that. Isn't it? So that's one category. The other category is gone out of this world. They completely left this world, although their body may be here, but they have, in consciousness, they have gone beyond. They, both of them are okay. But this one who is in between, their case is very difficult, he says here. So we cannot go back to that state again, come to that Mudha state, isn't it? So, therefore the only choice is now to use the intelligence and use the discrimination power properly and to cross beyond, like towards the other. Ischa buddhe param gadaha, he says, to go in that direction. So in halfway, you can't leave your intelligence behind. And leave behind. Because he is now that you have to use the intelligence and this discrimination power properly and use this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam to get over, to cross over this. Isn't it? So if the discrimination power is there, Vivekam, if it is there, little by little, first thing what you start recognizing is that there is distress in this world. There is distress in this world. So, so you can see that people are in this world, they do have, some of them see the distress in this world. And a lot of people in present day world also realize this, that there's a lot of distress going on in some form or the other happening here. Because even if you have no illness in the body, because of the media, they'll make you feel there's a lot of illnesses, what is happening inside, you can get this, you can get that, and you will start reading them and you will start thinking about it, isn't it? So people in the past, because the media was not like this, isn't it, like today, say about 100 years ago, you don't have to go very far, 100 years ago, we didn't have all these health magazines what we have today, did we? None of these health magazines existed. There is one doctor in the village who, according to his capacity, he will treat you. And there were some hospitals where everything was done in a very crude way. There wasn't nothing there. So what has all this done to us is, we became more conscious of our health and the body. In other words, in an indirectly, ajnanam and avidya was injected into us more to care for the body. That itself is why what we call as the disease. This is our main disease. That what is the health magazines and the hospitals and all other things, the big arrangements what we have now all over the world. Everywhere we look at different countries and say that country is very developed because they've got so many hospitals running there, big hospitals, and it has become a big industry now, isn't it? Health industry, as they call it. So what it has done is, it has injected this avidya into us in a strong way. So therefore, even an ordinary person, he get to know about all kinds of diseases, isn't it? And he collects all the information about all the diseases in the world. Ordinary people nowadays, because this internet thing, as before he goes to the doctor, he consults internet, and then he knows what question to ask the internet, and he puts the doctor in an awkward situation. Even sometimes he is more knowledgeable than the doctor. This is all going on today. You can see all these things. So doctors have become also very savvy about it. They have also become clever. So before the patient comes, he goes into the Google and he finds out what questions he is likely to ask. This is what's happening. Every domini doctors have told us this thing happening all the time. And he says the old people are not big trouble, he said, because they don't know how to use the internet, and many, they are past 80, 90 they have become. They don't have time
and they don't have interest also. They just want to go from here. But body is not going, what to do? So you have to stay here till you get your release note. But whereas young people, sometimes they collect so much information about all the diseases and then they go to the doctor after looking, googling everything. So the important thing here is that this imagination, and what happens is, when you read so many diseases, you start thinking, is that one I've got? Or is this one I've got? Because symptoms are all similar very much. So you say, what do you do with this? Lot of symptoms are very common to many diseases. Is it diabetes? Or is it cancer? Or is it cardiological problems? Or is it something else? So you keep wondering and dreaming about this. This is what happens, isn't it? All the time it happens. And in meanwhile, some friends comes and tells you, no, it could be this. And you say, add that also. Then you go and Google that. Is that one? So this way life goes on in this world. That is the point. So whether this way we get to collect all the information and keep it and suffer from that. So how will he be able to get himself free from this distress? Similarly, person who's got a lot of money, he has invested in so many things. His anxiety is all the time about the wealth, isn't it? What's going to happen? I've invested in this project, that project, and something you hear, one particular bank you have invested, they have lost a lot of money in some other country. And you start worrying here, as the money will all go from there. So, that then the information, so-called news media, everything is giving you all this information, and watching these different documentaries and other things, or you heard in the share market, in the newspaper, the share market has suffered heavily in some country and something is happening somewhere and you are suffering all the problems related to this world. And young people also, young men, they can also get blood pressure, diabetes and all other things, isn't it? So when you see all these things, you can see there that it is not very difficult to know that there is distress in this world. There is distress in the world. Therefore, Patanjali says in the Yoga Sutram, if you look, you will see, there is a sutram there, Sarvam Dukham Vivekinam. Viveki means one who has got power to discriminate. He, for him, everything is distress. Sarvam Dukham Vivekinam, he says. So, one who has got discrimination, when he looks at the world, he will see distress everywhere. He will see Dukkha Darshanam. So, Heyam Dukham Anagadam, Patanjali says. Heyam Dukham Anagadam. He says, Heyam Dukham Anagadam. What does that mean? Heyam Dukham Anagadam means that that Dukham, which is Anagadam. Anagadam means which is not come yet. Which has not come yet. Agadam means which has already come. Anagadam means it hasn't come. So, Dukham, that distress which has not come yet, that distress you can avoid. If you want it, you can avoid that. Because it hasn't come yet. How can you do that? How to avoid that? That is what Patanjali says there. That if you leave any object that you know that is going to give you distress in life, you leave the object first. Disease is a different thing. But many things in this world gives you distress due to your connection with that object. Isn't it? Sometimes distress comes from different sources in this world. From family it can come. From society it can come. From the world in different ways it can come. The distress can come in different ways. Patanjali says to us that before this distress comes, you leave your attachment to that. Because anything what you think is yours, if you take any kind of ownership or possessiveness in any relationship, then tomorrow that object where you have taken possessiveness or ownership that you will become a slave of that. And that is the law. You will become a slave of that. So as much as possible, not to take ownership of anything in this world. Because we are thinking that if I accept a relationship in this world, that object becomes mine then. It becomes mine, isn't it? But in reality, what is happening is the object doesn't become yours. You have actually become a slave of that particular object. So just like if you buy a car, car has no attachment towards you. Car is a jadavadartham, isn't it? It's a dead matter. But and car doesn't think I am somebody else whose car it is. Car doesn't think like that. But I am thinking it's my car. So all the thoughts about that car, all the tension about that car, and all the distress that comes from the car, I have got it. The car doesn't have that. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of the ownership of the dog. Holding the dog and walking, going for the walk. So the dog is not particular that it wants to come with you for a walk. If you just take its collar away and tell him to go, he will go. He is not particularly concerned about you. He wants to enjoy life, his life also. But you are the one who put all these things on its neck and holding its rein and saying, you are my dog, my this, my that, and feeding him and keeping him and all that. So naturally, so you are particular about that and you won't leave the dog, and therefore you can see that anything happens to the dog, you find distress from the dog, isn't it? So any object in this world, if you go and hold on to it, it will hold on to you. How will you hold on to that? Through the attachment. And from there, distress will come later. So the main cause of this distress is this mamata, mine. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti, says Rishabhadev to Bharata, isn't it? Janasya mohoyam aham mameti in the Bhagavadam you will see. Then, so vastu, none of the vastu is responsible for your distress. Object is not responsible, your attachment is. Possessiveness or mamata is responsible for the distress. So that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, when Sri Narada Maharshi talks about three types of advaitam there. Bhava advaitam, Kriya advaitam, Dravya advaitam. So Dravyam, Kriya, Bhavam. It is from these three things that distress comes. That is why those three things were spoken there. From Dravyam, from Kriya, and from Bhavam. Dravya means objects. Kriya means from karma, from action. Bhavam means from your thoughts. From all these three, distress will come. In the Bhagavatam, you will see this. We'll go to that. In the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, there are very important verses in the Bhagavatam. 7th canto, and the 62, 63, 64, 60, and 65. He says here, kriyadvaidam, dravyadvaidam, tadhalpana. Vartayan swanubhuteha, treen swapnan dhunudhe muni, he says. Treen swapnan dhunudhe muni. What does it mean? These three dreams, this mamata we are talking about, attachment, is three kinds of dream. These three dreams has to go. Muni, thoughtful person, he gives up these three dreams. What are they? Bhavadvaidam, kriyadvaidam, dravyadvaidam. Tadhalpanaha, avartayam swanubhutiha, trin swapnan dhunude muni. Says, karyakaranam, then he is explaining them, karyakarana vastvaikim arshanam patatanduvat, avastutva vikalpasya bhavadvaidam taduchyade.
യൽ ബ്രഹ്മണി പരേ സാക്ഷാൽ സർവകർമ്മ സമർപ്പണം മനോവാക് അനുഭിപ്പാർത്ത ക്രിയാദ്വൈതം തതുച്യതേ ആത്മജായ സുതാദീനാം അന്യേഷാം സർവദേഹിനാം യൽ സ്വാർത്ഥം കാമയോർ ഐക്യം ദ്രവ്യ അദ്വൈതം തതുച്യതേ. സോ എക്സ്പ്ലനേഷൻസ് ടു ദീസ് ത്രീ തിങ്സ്, ദ്രവ്യാദ്വൈതം, ക്രിയാദ്വൈതം ആൻഡ് ഭാവാദ്വൈതം. വെരി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് വേഴ്സസ് ദേ ആർ. ദിസ് ഈസ് നാരദ മഹർഷി ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് ടു ഹോം ടു യുധിഷ്ഠിര. ടു യുധിഷ്ഠിര, ഇസ്നെ യുധിഷ്ഠിര ആസ് ദിസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ അബൌട്ട് ദി സദാചാര നിർണയം, ഹൗ വൺ ക്യാൻ ഡിവലപ് ഭക്തി. സോ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് എൻ ആൻസർ ടു ദാറ്റ് ഓൾ ദിസ് വാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ, ഹൗ ടു ഡിവലപ് ഭക്തി ഇൻ ദി സെവൻത് കാൻറ്റോ. സോ ഹി മെൻഷൻസ് ദേ ദാറ്റ് ആത്മജായ സുതാദീനാം അന്യേഷാം സർവദേഹിനാം yet swartha kamayo raikyam dravya advaitam tatuchyate. If you develop this freedom from attachment to dravyam, and that includes family, society and wealth in this world, your assets in this world, money in the bank, all that, if you don't feel shelter there anywhere, and സർവദേഹിനാം യൽ സ്വാർത്ഥകാമയോരൈക്യം ദ്രവ്യദ്വൈതം തതുച്ഛതേ. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ, സോറി, ശ്രീനാരദ മഹർഷി ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് വെൻ യു ടേക്ക് ദിസ് ത്രീ തിങ്സ്, ദ്രവ്യദ്വൈതം, ക്രിയാദ്വൈതം, ഇൻ ഓൾ ദ ത്രീ പ്ലെയിൻസ്, ദിസ് അദ്വൈത ജ്ഞാനം, ദിസ് നോളജ് ഓഫ് അദ്വൈതം, വെൻ വൺ പ്രാക്ടീസസ് ദാറ്റ്, ആൻഡ് ശ്രീനാരദ മഹർഷി സെയ്സ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് all three of them will leave a person in a realized state. Which one? Dravyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, all three of them. Dravyadvaitam means nothing belongs to me, everything is Krishna's, everything is Krishna's. That means dravyam means the wealth, everything whatever is there, dravyam is there, but you can take it and use it for whatever purpose is, for vyavaharam you can use it, but it is not yours, it's not yours. What is yours allocated to you by the prarabdham, what has come, you can use it for vyavaharam purposes, isn't it? And if you are not using it, that wealth, what has come to you, if it is used somebody else for some better purpose, let them use it. This is the principle. In other words, dravyadvaitam doesn't allow to accumulate wealth. If you want to advance in the spiritual path, Krishna is, Narada Maharshi is saying there that what is necessary for your maintenance in this world, you can use it for maintaining the body or family or whatever that is. But beyond than that, any wealth that is accumulated is dravyadvaitam, is that if somebody else has to be use it, let them use it, particularly for higher purpose, whatever that is. That is dravyadvaitam. So any dravyam, any wealth, if you don't put the seal on that it is mine, it is mine, if you do that, then dravyam will not bind us. Dravyam will not bind us. That's what it is, important thing. It becomes a bondage otherwise. Similarly, Krishna talks about the Kriyadvaitam. Kriyadvaitam also, no karmam is yours. No karmam is yours. Karmam you are not doing, because karmam is there in the prakriti, in the material nature. Body is doing the karmam. I am not the doer or the enjoyer. When you get freed from yourself from that concept, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, then you get released from the karmam. That is called Kriyadvaitam. Kriyadvaitam. Karmam is happening through this body and the mind, but as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimodhatma kartaham iti manyate. So when that knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, when that is realized in our life in this world, as far as karmam is concerned, that is kriyadvaitam. That is kriyadvaitam. And so, similarly, what is Bhavadvaitam? Bhavadvaitam is that in my imagination, at the moment, in my thoughts and in my understanding, I am assuming that I am a personality, ego, isn't it? Jiva.
and others are separate from me.
Others are separate from me.
And who am I? What is my identity? And when I analyze it very carefully, scrutinizingly study it in a very subtle level, this reality of me as identity, as a jiva, is not a reality, isn't it?
Jiva is only an ego. Ahankaram it is inside.
So I can see that my so-called personality is something which I have developed through my imagination, through this body, identification of the body and the mind. And the ahankaram is the main reason why I feel so strongly about I am a person, I am a person, I am an individual. This is strongly planted inside. When that ego disappears, it dissolves inside, ego disappears, Krishna says that is bhavadvaidam. Yudhishthira Maharshi says here, bhavadvaidam. That means these three things, bhavadvaidam, kriyadvaidam, dravyadvaidam. That is the three things. Because in reality, what is our identity? Pure awareness, isn't it? Pure awareness is what we are, bodham, isn't it? That bodham, consciousness, that is our identity. And that consciousness is not a personality. Personality comes when you give the importance to ahankaram, ego. That is when it becomes a person. And personality means along with that, all other problems also come. Because personality disappears in the deep sleep. That shows that it is not a reality. But in the deep sleep, consciousness remains. Bodham is still there. When you wake up, you will see that. You can reporting back about the experience of consciousness in the deep sleep state. So, this Vyakti Brahmam, that's what we call it, this Bhavadvaidam creates this problem called Vyakti Brahmam. And the Kriyadvaidam creates a problem of Karma Brahmam. And Dravyadvaidam creates a problem of Dravya Brahmam. Brahma means illusion. Those are three kinds of illusion is created by these three things. Dravyam, Kriya and Bhava. Dravyam, Kriya and Bhava. And when all these three things goes away, then that jiva becomes independent. Jiva becomes independent. And where do they go? Where are they at the moment? They are all in the upadhi. They are not in the soul. They are all in the upadhi. Upadhi means in our subtle body, in our subtle mind, and present in our upadhi. They are called upadhi, mind, body, intelligence, and all those places, isn't it? So, upadhi, when you get released from the upadhi, you get released from all these problems. So Krishna knows our difficulty. Krishna knows our difficulty. That is why Krishna is saying here, if you cannot make all these things happen, he understands this problem. He says here that even if it doesn't become everything completely practical for you, Krishna says, Sulpam arpyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even to a very small degree, if these three realizations, even if it's not complete, perfection is not there, Krishna is saying, Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Everybody knows, I think, that verse. Because that's like what do they call it? People use that verse I'll tell you what it is. They use that word, Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayate. All the preachers use that. This verse, that they say to them that even if you don't make it, you're covered by the insurance. This is the insurance clause in the Bhagavad Gita. So in the 240. Nehak Vikrama Nashosti. Pratyavayana vidyade, sulpam apyasya dharmasya, trayade mahado bhayat. See that? We discussed that verse when we talked about that. Neha abhikramanashosti, pratyavayana vidyade, sulpam apyasya dharmasya, trayade mahado bhayat. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, Krishna's point is also here that even to some extent, if this dravyadvaitam, bhavadvaitam, kriyadvaitam comes, to some extent at least, there is a chance that you may escape. That is, you may escape from here. I mean, you can think like this also. Now we are sitting here. What do we know? Are we sitting here by after knowing everything in this world? No, we are not, isn't it? So, in everything it is like that. For example, 10 to 15 years you went to school and college. Is it not? We all went to somewhere, some school or some college we went in. And after studying all that, if you ask, what do I know? I don't know, I don't know what to say about it. Because the reality, we studied many years physics, many years chemistry, and then so many other subjects also in the same way. And if somebody asks me now about physics and chemistry, I can't answer anything. I don't know, I can't remember anything. It was only then at that few years, when they have given you something, you studied that. At that time, I was not that because I was so attached to physics or so attached to chemistry, you were studying that. It was because you knew that if you study all these things, you will get a work, some job, somewhere. So you are studying like that, isn't it? And you studied all that, you wrote in the examination, got through all that, and now everything forgotten, everything is gone, isn't it? And lot of time and money wasted in that way. Similarly, and we don't feel regret about it now. We are still thinking it was not bad, it was all worthwhile, things like that. Similarly, Krishna's point is, in this Brahma Vidya also, this is Brahma Vidya, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is Brahma Vidya. In Brahma Vidya also, give a little bit effort into it, put some effort into it. That is why that verse was spoken like that. Sulpam apyasya dharmasya traide mahado bhayad nehavikrama nashosti pratyavayona vidyade. Pratyavaya dosham, we talked about that before, what pratyavaya means. So, pratyavaya dosham is not there. Sulpam apyasya dharmasya. Pratyavaya dosham means that, for example, if you go back into the karmakandam in the Vedam, or so many other Puranic instructions also, certain things you have to do, but there are certain reactions from that. You have to know, take care of that in your execution of the particular aspect of the Vedam. But in the Brahma Vidya, there is no such thing. There is no pratyavaya dosham. Pratyavaya dosham means, by executing this Brahma Vidya, you will never get into trouble. It is always elevating, never pulling you down. It never pulls you down, it always elevates you in another way. So that is why Krishna is saying here, that little effort you put it into this field of knowledge, that even if a little knowledge goes inside, on a long period of time, it will do enormous good to the individual. And little by little, that realization, if it gets in, I am not this body. And body is not mine. And body is not meant for my enjoyment. If these three things, if somehow or the other, if gets established inside, then that is a big success, Krishna is saying that. Because this body is only, in the bhakti language you will say, body is nothing but a yandram, isn't it, in Krishna's hands. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hridesha arjana tishtadi brahman sarvabhudani yantrarudhani maya. It's a yandram, it's a machine given in Krishna's hands. And Krishna alone is the truth. Krishna alone is the truth. And there is no other truth outside Krishna. Outside Krishna. And Krishna is keeping this body as a machine and using this body as he likes, as Krishna likes. If we take that understanding, and if we live in that understanding, Krishna, knowing very well that this body belongs to Krishna. Krishna is using this body for whatever purpose he finds it useful. And that is our prarabdham. That's what we call it as prarabdham. Krishna has decided that these things should get done through this body. So Krishna is executing that through this body. And he is operating the mind, he is operating the intelligence. And even if you keep this identification of false ego in there, that I am doing everything, That is where correction is required. All other things Krishna is doing. As far as the body is concerned, Krishna is doing that. Mind is concerned, Krishna is doing that. Intelligence is concerned, also Krishna is doing that. But it is that ego thing, I am the doer, or identification with the false ego, which I am, the jiva, then is only where which has to surrender, which has to accept that Krishna, I am only a machine operated by Krishna. This false ego is nothing but a machine operated by Krishna. Where Krishna puts me in, I will sit there. Whatever he makes me to do, I will do that. And whatever he makes me to think and act, I will think and act accordingly. I don't have any independence. And when I knew that, I get completely free. I get completely free from all responsibility. Just like a small child, he doesn't have any freedom. And the child is looked after by the mother. But child on his own, when he is protected by the mother, he is completely independent. Because he is protected by the mother, isn't it? Similarly, in the hands of Antaryami inside, Antaryami is running this body. Antaryami's another aspect is this jiva, is it not? From Antaryami's, another presence in this body is what we call as the ego, ahankara or jiva. So jiva ahanda, if we take it like this, that jiva ahanda which has come separately from Antaryami, if I ignore that, if I learn how to ignore that, and knowing very well that Antaryami is doing it, I am not doing it. And without that jiva ahanda, if you can remain in this body, then that will lead you to these realizations what Krishna has spoken. What all this is about is how to free yourself from the nature, from the prakriti, from the three modes of material nature. That is all these things what we are talking about. So this jiva ahanda or ego, which is nothing but another version of the Antaryami. Antaryami is only the reality inside. The real thing what is inside all of us is the Antaryami. And it is this Antaryami's another version of that which takes a different form when it wants to enjoy the world. It takes this jiva ahanda and comes through the mind and the senses to the world. But the moment we recognize that Antaryami is running everything, there is no separately my existence as jiva. Immediately the ego dissolves there. Ego goes away. Once that ego disappears, then what remains there is only Antaryami and all the other upadhis. Antaryami and the upadhis remain. You can see this very clearly in the Bhagavatam, in the yoga, in the Rudra Gita. Lord Shiva talks this to Prachetas. That when I want to enjoy, he says there, that he comes, Antaryami comes through and forms this ahankaram inside. Because ahankaram is necessary to enjoy the sense objects. And to facilitate for the jiva, this ahankaram has taken these different roles of the senses, mind, intelligence, everything. It's only to facilitate this jiva there. So the moment I dissolve this jiva, knowing very well that, accepting Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, saying that Antaryami is doing everything, Antaryami is the main person there, not the jiva. Jiva is only a temporary manifestation. That is why when you study that verse, Mamaivamsho Jiva Loge Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, you have to understand that what does Jiva Bhuta means, first of all. They use this word to firmly establish that jiva is permanent. Jiva is not permanent. It is jiva bhutam. Jiva bhutam means what? In Shastram, jiva bhutam means Mamaivamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. I am Sanatana. That Sanatana thing has become jiva. Jiva bhutam it is. It has become jiva. It was not jiva before. It will never be jiva afterwards. It has become jiva temporarily for this purpose. To enjoy the senses through the mind and the sense objects, it has become jiva temporarily. But in reality, there is only Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside. So that accepting that, although this jiva handa or the false ego, it is an illusion, brahmam, isn't it? It's a brahmam it is. I am feeling like that, I am separate from everything, I am an individual, I am on my own, I got this name, I got this body, and I got my address, I got my phone number, and so many things I have taken on me as my separate existence, separate identity, isn't it? Once you leave this body, what is happening then? Where is your address? Where is your phone number? What's happened to your car? What's happened to your house address? Everything goes, is it not? So, jiva ahanda, when you have got this false ego, you have got all the other things along with it. When you have lost the false ego, you lose all the other things along with it, in the same way. So, just like in the dream state, you have expanded yourself in many forms. Who did that? You are alone there in the dream state, isn't it? But if you go and dream about this room now in your dream, everybody is present there in your dream. Where did they all come from? You have expanded yourself into all the other different forms there, is it not? So, but as soon as the dream is over, they've all disappeared. So that personality is who appeared in the dream state. Only they are reality when you see that dream, when you watch that dream. Similarly, when you are in the bodily identity, when you are identifying with the body, and when you are in the vacant state, at that time you have this ego also, along with that present there, to give you a separate identity. That's all it is. Just like in the dream state, when you go, you expand yourself into many other people, isn't it? There's nobody else there, but you have everybody present there. And you know very well, when you come out of the dream state, none of them is real for you. Similarly, what Krishna's point here is that when you are in your bodily identity, that means when you are in your vacant state also, so long as you are in your vacant state, you will keep on saying like this, I am so and so person, I am from such and such a country, I speak such and such a language. These languages and place of birth and country of birth and your passport, all these things are only limited to that vacant state, is it not? So only in the vacant state you can take all these identities, exactly like the way you have taken your identity in the dream state. And once you are out of the vacant state, then all that identities also drops, just like the way you dropped all your identities in the dream state. That's all it is. Like you drop all your identities in the dream state, isn't it? Similarly, you drop all your identities in the vacant state also. So, so you may say like this, that the devotee's approach is like this. These three things, Dravyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, it permeates into people's life through two different channels. One through the bhakti way, other through the jnana margam. Either one through the bhakti margam, other through the jnana margam. Its principle is the same. So in bhakti margam, you may keep on repeating this way to yourself, saying that Dravyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, what we have spoken about. But that is the jnana margam, you can accept it that way. But on the other hand, you can say that in the devotee's language, if you put it, you can say, I am Krishna's servant. I am Krishna's servant. I am Krishna's child. I am Krishna's child. And Krishna is doing everything. Krishna is doing everything. And that is in the bhakti bhava. In bhakti, you will take it that way, that I am Krishna's servant. In a different way. Little different than the jnana margam. Jnana margam. In the jnana margam, when it comes to all this what we have spoken, that to bring it more clearer, that the pride, what you feel, pride means the ego, what you are feeling there, knowing very well that it has come from Antaryami, it will go back also to Antaryami, where it came from. That is what dissolve means. To dissolve the ego means, from where it came, it goes back to the same place where it originated from. So, this point, what Krishna says here, that in the bhakti bhavam, this approach, all the time to think that this is a machine operated by Krishna. Krishna is the operator. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi ഹൃദേശ അർജുന തിഷ്ഠതി മീൻസ് വാട്ട്? അന്തര്യാമി. ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് നോട്ട്? ഈശ്വര സർവഭൂതാനാം ഹൃദേശേ അർജുന തിഷ്ഠതി. സോ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് മൈ ഓഫീസ് അസ് ഈശ്വര ഈസ് ഹിയർ ആസ് അന്തര്യാമി ഇൻസൈഡ് ദ ഹാർട്ട്. ബ്രാഹ്മയൻ സർവഭൂതാനി യന്ത്രാരൂഢാനി മായയ. ഓൾ ലിവിംഗ് എന്റിറ്റീസ് ഓപ്പറേറ്റ് അക്കോർഡിംഗ് ടു മൈ പ്ലാൻ. സോ അക്സെപ്റ്റിംഗ് ദാറ്റ്, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് അക്സെപ്റ്റിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് യു ആർ ജസ്റ്റ് എ സെർവന്റ്, കൃഷ്ണ സെർവന്റ്. Krishna is doing everything, I am going along with it. Whatever Krishna does through the body, mind, intelligence, anything is okay. My decision is not important. My desire, it doesn't matter. What Krishna does is what matters. If you come to Jnanamargam, if you come to the Jnanamargam, what is there? Only Krishna exists. Only Krishna exists. And that is called Brahman here in the Bhagavad Gita. And this thought, that false ego, that itself is only an imagination. It's only an imagination. In reality, only Krishna exists. Only Krishna is it. So, whichever way you take it, that first of all you have to accept this truth, what Krishna has spoken. What is that? Ishvara sarvabhudanam hrideshe arjuna tishtati. Brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. That reality, we have to accept it. There is no question. Just like you accept rules for Janmashtami and Ramanavami and Narasimha Chaturdashi, in a similar way, this knowledge also, what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, you have to accept it. And if you accept that truth, then truth will accept you. If you accept that truth, truth will accept you. So, this is the most important thing. That everything, instead of allowing the mind and intelligence to interfere in that, and making a complete mess of everything, simply by accepting the injunctions of the Shastram, Shastram will save us from the from our distress, from our situation. If you look into Kathopanishad, this is what is spoken there. What Kathopanishad says is that, it's a famous verse. Nayam Alma Pravachanena Labhyaha ന മേധയ ന ബഹുന ശ്രുതേന യമൈ വൈഷം വൃണുതേ തേന ലഭ്യ തസ്യേഷ ആത്മാ വൃണുതേ തനും സ്വാം. സോ മെനി ടൈംസ് വി ഹാവ് സ്പോക്കൻ ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ്. നയം ആത്മാ പ്രവചനേന ലഭ്യോ. ദാറ്റ് നോട്ട് ബൈ സ്റ്റഡിയിങ് ശാസ്ത്രം യു വിൽ ഗെറ്റ് ഇറ്റ്, നോട്ട് ബൈ യുവർ ഇന്റലിജൻസ് യു വിൽ ഗെറ്റ് ഇറ്റ്. ന മേധയ ന ബഹുന ശ്രുതേന. Even if you hear many times, you may not get it. Then how do we get it? By accepting it. This is the principle. Acceptance of the words of the Shastra. Yamai vesha vrunudetena alabhyaha. That means that how do you accept it? When Andaryami inside accept it, you can accept it. That is what it is. And when will Andaryami accept it? Andaryami will accept it when that false ego inside does not interfere. Andaryami knows what it wants. Andaryami knows, Yamai Vaisha Vrunade Tena Labhyaha Tasesha Alma Vivranade Tanam Swam. So, because a person who is in the bhakti process or in the Jnanamargam, he is doing sadhana, isn't it? Jnanamargam also Jnana sadhana. Bhakti Margam, Bhakti Sadhana. Whatever sadhana one is doing, ultimately what is sadhana for? Sadhana, in Bhakti Margam if you ask, sadhana is for surrender, sharanagadi, to surrender to Krishna. That is what sadhana is. Nothing else. Bhakti means nothing but surrender, isn't it? What does surrender mean? Surrender means this, that I don't exist. Everything Krishna is doing through this body. Whatever Krishna is doing through this body, that's me. That's what it is. I am accepting that without any complaint. That is surrender. Otherwise, where is the surrender? If everything what Krishna does, you keep questioning Krishna, then where is the surrender there? So, that surrender, when that happens, that is considered that surrender to Andaryami inside. Because Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata. Surrender there to that Andaryami inside. That's where you can surrender. So, this Andaryami who is inside, that's where one has to surrender. So when Krishna is saying to us, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantrarudhani Mayaya, he says. That Yantrarudhani Mayaya is playing the game there, and Maya is continuously rotating us in the various bodies, life after life, without allowing us to surrender to Antaryami, making us to operate in different ways. When we surrender, and when our ego gets completely dissolved, Antaryami takes control. When Antaryami takes control, that is when this one happens. Yamai Vaisham Vrunade Tena Labhyaha. That Antaryami himself decides from within that he will reveal to you your identity, what you are actually. At that time, you will lose your this ignorant realization that I am this body, I am this false ego, my jiva, jiva bhavam, everything disappears with that, and Atma manifests from within. That is what that verse is talking about. It's a famous verse in the Kathopanishad. Nayam Atma pravachanena labhya, na medhaya, na shrubhuna shrutena, na yamai vaisham vrunade tena labhya, tasesham Atma vivrunade tanim swam. Now, three things Yamadharmaraja has spoken here. What are they? One thing, Nayam Atma pravachanena labhya. Simply by studying Vedam alone, you are not going to get it. Na medhaya na bahuna shodhena. Not even by your intelligence, you are not going to get it. Not by bahuna shodhena. Even if you have heard for many years, it may not happen. Why? Because surrender has not happened. That is why. If the surrender happens, so through jnana margam you surrender, through bhakti margam you surrender, through jnana margam what you do? Shraddha. In jnanam it is shraddha, in bhakti it is sharanagati. Bhakti it is sharanagati, in jnanam it is shraddha. Shraddha means what? This what Krishna has said here, that we accept this. This dravyadvaidam, bhavadvaidam, kriyadvaidam, everything in daily life. That is what it means. So, Atma releases itself. So what is our first duty then? When you read through these verses, what does that mean? It means the first duty is to accept the truth what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavatam. That is where our whole problem is. Our whole problem, all the other rituals and the other injunctions in the Shastram, we will, for example, if you take to Nectar Devotion and you start reading through that, there are so many instructions there, isn't it? How you have to follow 10 offenses and so many other things about deity worship, rules and regulations, rules and regulations, rules and regulations everywhere. And all the other Shastram in this world also full of rules and regulations, isn't it? In different ways it's presented. Whether it is Bible or Quran or any other Shastram for that matter. And similarly in the Vedic literature also, many of the books are rules and regulations. That rules and regulations, we don't find it difficult to follow. If you are a little bit serious, you can follow it. It's not a big problem, is it not? But when it comes to that rules and regulations, we have no difficulty. But when it is spoken about the truth, we become very skeptical and become very cynical about that, or we find it very difficult to accept that. So, but that is where whole problem is. If this truth what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if you are willing to accept it, accept means, that means Antaryami has to accept it from inside. That is Krishna's grace, in other words. And when that happens, in your own realizations, it will come that the identity with the body is false. This identification with the body is false. What's happening with this body is all false. And body itself doesn't exist. Its existence is only due to our identification with it, it exists. If I don't identify with the body doesn't exist. That is what Krishna said. Dehastho vina dehastha. Vidvan sapnad yathotida. Adehastho vina dehastha. Kumadi sapna drgyatha. Krishna is speaking from a very higher level for a person who is completely out of the body. He is saying dehastho vina dehastha. He may be remaining in the body, but he has no connection with the body. Dehastho vina dehastha. Vidvan sapnan yathotida. He knows, just like in the dream state, how he was identifying it, only in the same way he identifies with the body in the vacant state. And he knows that once he come out of the vacant state, that identification is over. Then, adehastho bina dehastha, all like us, that even when the body leaves, we will still identify with the body, go after the body. Kumati, Krishna says kumati. Kumati means no brain. Supnadrik yatha, he is in the dream state, he is living in this world, in this dream of dream. When Krishna calls it that supnadrik yatha, what it means is our vacant state today, what we are living now. That is a dream state, what we have created. After saying all these things, if Krishna says here, that if you accept this truth, what I am saying, Krishna says, if you accept this truth, what I am saying, it will come on its own from inside, but you have to accept it first. That acceptance is more important. And if it happens in that way, in your own experience, then sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, none of them has anything to do with you. You don't. So that's what I was saying yesterday. You don't have to keep on studying these three modes of nature anymore after that. If you accept that truth, what Krishna has spoken. That is why it is mentioned there that in the na shuklam, na krishnam, na rektam, na peetam, na kubjam, na peenam, na hraswam, na dirgham. Arubam tatha jyoti akarakatval todego vashishtam shiva kevalohaṁ. My pure identity is pure consciousness. I am pure consciousness. I am pure consciousness. So this acceptance is the most difficult part. Following rules and regulations is not the difficult part. So many people are following. We follow so many rules and regulations, isn't it? The parliament and the police say so many rules and we have to follow that. You have no choice, isn't it? Similarly, following rules and regulations is not the difficult thing. Is not the difficult thing. Is accepting the Shastram is the most difficult thing. Not the rules. Rules and regulations can only take you in a direction. But ultimately, this knowledge has to come up inside. After saying, if it happened like that, Krishna says, none of these three modes of material nature can touch you anymore. After saying this, let's go back to this chapter again. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. So, Krishna, here, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. Two things Krishna has spoken here. First thing, Krishna spoke about his Swarupam, isn't it? What he is. What is our Swarupam is. Swarupam means our real identity is. Secondly, Krishna spoke about Prakriti, Mula Prakriti. So, in the Prakriti, like in the last chapter, in the 13th chapter, that's what we discussed, isn't it? Prakriti, Purusha. Two things what we have discussed there. So, it's 4:45, so we'll have a few minutes and then we'll continue again.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamahadava ninirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandambudivardhanam pratipadapurnamadaswadanam sarvadnasubanam param vijayave shri krishna sankirtanam Nam nama kari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatra arpida nemida smaranena kalam edadrisham tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi nudaiva medrisham iha jani nanuragaha trinarabhishuni chena tarorabhi sahishuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sada hari mahanam na janam na sundarim kavidam vajagadishakamaye मम जन्मनि जन्मनि ईश्वरी भवदात् भक्तिरहै तुमित्वयि अयि नन्दतनुज किङ्करम् पतितामाम् शमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कज स्थितधूलि सदृशम् विचिन्तय युगायुगम् मे नयनम् गलदशुधारय वदनम् गद्गदरुद्धया विना पुलगैर्निचितम् कदावभौ तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुगम् निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायिनम् शून्यायिनम् जगल् सर्वम् गोविन्द विरहे नमे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदाम् विनष्टुमाम् मदर्शनाम् मर्महदाम् करोतु वा दाददा वा विददागलम् वडो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापरा. So, in that 13th chapter, two things was discussed, Kshetram and Kshetrajnan, which means Kshetrajnan is Krishna's Swarupam.
And other one kshetram is Moola Prakriti, isn't it? Moola Prakriti. So in that Moola Prakriti, where Krishna we discussed, mentioned also there, that body, mind, intelligence and my ego, personality, everything is included in that Moola Prakriti. And so understand it this way, body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything belongs to Prakriti. And in that Prakriti, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam is there. Rajogunam, Tamogunam is there. But none of them, neither this body, mind, intelligence, ego, nor Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam is our identity. As I mentioned before, the only way to come out of these modes of nature is to free yourself from the Prakriti. Move away from the Prakriti as much as possible. How do you move away? By knowing what you are actually. What your real identity is, isn't it? So, none of them, neither these three modes of nature, nor this body, mind, intelligence, ego, none of them is our identity. Is our, and doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to us either. It all belongs to Moola Prakriti, towards the Prakriti. But so long as you are here in this world, in this body, that this plane of Maya is there. This is the plane of Maya, isn't it? Maya means what? All these things together, which means three modes of material nature, your body, mind, intelligence and ego. This is all part of that, not you. You are separate from all these things. But because you are here, in this world, all these things exist at the moment in front of you. Which one? Body, mind, intelligence, ego, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam and everything. Therefore, what is the solution? Solution is this. Truth you have to realize. And in Maya you have to do your vyavaharam. Satyam you have to realize. And Maya you have to do vyavaharam with. That's all you can do here. Don't mix up these two things. If you mix it up, you will have problems. That's where all the problems coming from. All the realized soul, that is how they live here. They live in this way. Satyam for realization. You realize the truth and you live in that knowledge. Maya, you have to conduct vyavaharam with that. Maya, you have to conduct. Maya, you cannot realize. Don't try to realize Maya. You will never realize Maya. And Maya, you can't take shelter either. You can never realize Maya, and you can never take shelter of Maya. Absolute truth, the self, knowledge of the self. Self means Krishna, in other words. That you can know and take shelter there. You can realize Krishna, you can take shelter of Krishna. Maya you cannot realize and Maya you can't take shelter. This is the important principle. Maya for vyavaharam and Krishna for shelter. This is the very clear principle in spiritual life. Otherwise we will suffer. What we are doing now is that Maya we are taking shelter and Krishna we are doing vyavaharam. Unfortunately, it is happening like that. What to do? All the time, all our vyavaharam is with Krishna. And Maya, we have complete faith and shelter in the Maya. And when the problems come, we get completely perplexed why it is like this. Why everything is going wrong. We are saying to everybody, I can take complete shelter of Radha Gokulananda, I say. And then all problems are coming. I have not taken any shelter of Radha. I have taken complete shelter of Maya. And then say blaming it on Krishna, everything in the end. So, if you'll see that case of many great personalities also, when they have their conversation each other, they will mention this one important point, that when they ask this question, that very highly learned personality, they have asked these questions about it. And when they asked the question, the answer they have received was,
to remain in their state, real identity as the self, there is no other way you can escape from this misery. Misery means its three modes of nature also. That except to go back to our identity as the soul. To stay in that platform of the soul is the only way to free ourselves from the miseries of the material nature. So, when you are situated like that, how will you conduct vyavaharam? So, that question, if somebody asks, that's okay, if I take to spiritual life, and if I am always identifying myself as the Brahman, or the Aham Brahmasmi state, and how will I conduct my vyavaharam? That question will come, isn't it? You have to always remember, vyavaharam is in the field of prakriti, is in the field of prakriti. And this question also is in the field of prakriti. Those who are asking that question. Where is that question coming from? From prakriti. It's not coming from the platform of the soul, isn't it? So, the point is that whenever somebody says, because people have not separated these two things, that is why the whole problem is. They have not separated Satyam and Maya. Satyam is Krishna. Satyam Param Dhimahi. Isn't it? Krishna is the Satyam. Alpa is the Satyam. Brahmam is the Satyam. And that Satyam you can't mix up with Prakriti. They are two different entities. Two different entities. Although in a higher level they are one. But till you see, knowledge, it depending on which level one is, you have to take the knowledge at that particular level till you reach the highest realization. When Krishna is saying, Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi vishwamegalpagam pashyan prakritya purushenacha. That verse only apply to that person who has gone beyond purusha and prakriti. Who has completely come. Otherwise, ordinary person, if he starts reading that and says that everything is one, it won't work. Advaitam won't work there. It cannot work. In the level where you are at, the knowledge in that level you have to accept. In that level you have to accept. So here again, that Swarupam or our identity or the self, you have to remain there all the time as possible. That means know that first. First know it. You may not reach there, but know it, first of all. And that means Swarupam. Swarupam you have to know always what you are. You have to know it. You may not be in that state, but you have to know it. Swabhavam is Prakriti. Swabhavam is Prakriti, isn't it? Swabhavam, and yesterday remember that verse we looked at? What was that? In the, I think it was in the fifth chapter. What was the verse? It's not come. Remembering now. Yeah. Swabhavastu pravartade, the last line. Logasya srijati prabhu. Na karma phalasam yogam. Swabhavastu pravartade. Isn't it? So, na kartrutvam na karmani. Logasya srijati prabhu. Na karma phalasam yogam. Swabhavastu pravartade. That should be kept in the mind all the time. In other words, then, so when you come to the field of prakriti, all what is doing there is your swabhavam is working there in the prakriti. Swabhavam is working there. So according to your swabhavam, whatever that is doing in the prakriti, let it carry on that way. You are not a part of that. You are not a part of that. Like we are all acting different ways in the vyavaharam, isn't it? We all act differently. Why? Because our swabhavam is different. That is why we are acting differently in the vyavaharam. There is no right or wrong in all these things. According to your swabhavam, you will act. That's all it is. And there, the only thing you can do is that that you have to keep saying to yourself, I am not the karta, I am not the bhokta, I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer, and let the vyavaharam continue in its own way. So, in knowledge, you have to know, vastu is different than all these things. Vastu means the satyam. The truth is not vyavaharam. It is something different than all these things. Knowing well and without forgetting that, you have to conduct your vyavaharam in this world. Without forgetting that, you have to conduct your vyavaharam. When you start mixing up the truth with vyavaharam, problem starts there. That is our most of problem is coming from that. Almost all problems is because of this. That we mix the knowledge of the self with the vyavaharam.
Our identity, in other words, the truth or the satyam, param dhimahi, what Krishna says there at the Bhagavatam, that satyam you can't bring it and dilute in the world, because world is prakriti. There nothing is clear. It is vyavaharam, that is why it's called vyavaharam. So, there what you can do is always to remain in your identity as the soul, in the Atma, as the platform of the soul, and continue with the work what has to be done in the vyavaharam. So, according to whatever situation Krishna has put us in that situation, according to the dharma, whatever you have to do it in this world. If it is in the sattvagunam, it is in the sattvagunam. So, that you can't do anything about. If you know this, then you don't have to specially work, because normally what we do is we try to understand the three modes of nature. And then we try to think that, oh, I don't want to go with the lower modes of nature. I just want to be in the... And then the conflict comes, because you have to go to work. When you go there, you can't create sattvagunam there in the work, is it? There it is either rajogunam or tamogunam, mostly. Rajogunam and tamogunam there. So, naturally a conflict comes into your mind. What should I do? Krishna is not expecting you to go and change offices and all the situations there. He's not expecting you to do that. What Krishna is saying to us is, like this, in the Srimad Bhagavatam you can see this, that when Krishna decided to kill Kaliya, Krishna kicked Kaliya a lot, isn't it? Athava arini ghoradharam paninam. He says that he danced so much and he vomited, everything came out from inside. So Kaliya's wives came and told Krishna that don't give him any more, kick any more to him, and give life back to him. He was going to die at that time. So Krishna says, I don't have any hate towards Kaliya, but Kaliya should not stay here in Yamuna River anymore. And he is making the whole place polluted with poison, isn't it? Kaliya's poison was very strong. So, and I can't allow him to stay here. He should go from here. That's all I'm asking. I don't want to kill him. He can stay. And Balaram is standing there and watching this. Balaram is not very happy about that, because it is his family member, isn't it, Kaliya? So you see how complicated the whole thing. So in Vyavaharam, Krishna is careful. After kicking and killing and about to kill Kaliya, he says to Kaliya's wives, I'm not going to kill him. So he is responsible for this. He has done this wrong thing. Which one? He made this Kalindi river full of poison. Kaliya didn't give it back. Kaliya gave back to Krishna. You know what Kaliya said to him? Kaliya says to him, that did I create that poison? Who created? You created that, didn't you? And you put it inside me. Krishna appreciated that, Kaliya's words. Krishna couldn't say anything to Kaliya. Kaliya says to him that I can only eat what you have given it to me, and that which I am vomiting anywhere, everywhere. Because you have put that in front of me. Suppose you have put nectar into me, I would have been vomiting nectar everywhere. He said to Krishna. Krishna says, you are right. Because in Vyavaharam it is like that. We can only do what Krishna has given to us, isn't it? I can't change the whole world. It's not possible. Nobody can do that. World will go its own way. You come here, you have to do your Vyavaharam and go from here. So in Vyavaharam, wherever Krishna has put you, accept it that way. That this is my... Krishna has put me in that situation. But that cannot influence your knowledge of the self. That is Krishna's point. That don't mix these two things together. They are totally independent things. Totally independent things. That is why he says like that. That if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there that in the Kaliya's story, this is a very famous thing, what Kaliya said to Krishna. We all think Kaliya is such a nonsense, isn't it? Kaliya is not a nonsense. Kaliya is intelligent enough. He says to Krishna that, if you look into the 10th canto, 16th chapter. Kaliya Uvacha. Kaliya is saying, 56 words. Vayam khalaha saholpatya tamasa dhirghamanyavaha svabhavo dustyajo madha Loganam yadasadgraha. This is that verse. Famous it is. Says here, Vayam khalaha. You're calling me as though I am a khala. Khala means dushta, as a wicked person. Sahol patya tamasa dirghamanyavaha. That these things what I have got with me is what you have given it to me. Isn't it? I didn't create. You put this poison in me and you call me Kaliya. You are like this, you are like this. Who is behind all these things? Krishna is behind everything. Isn't it? So how can I, Kaliya is saying here, Svabhavo dustyajo natha. How can I change my svabhava? What can I do? It's very difficult to give it up. Isn't it? So, by birth itself, we are like this. What is that? Dirghamanyaha. Very angry. We are very angry people, he says. We are very angry people. And our family is like that. All the Kaliya's family members, he's saying. We are all like that, he says. Vayam khala sahol patya tamasa dirghamanyavaha svabhavo dustyajo natha loganam yadasadgraha. Loganam yadasadgraha. He says here that the poison is already inside us. And what can I do? He says, you have put this inside. Instead, if you have put nectar inside, I will be releasing the nectar in the Kalindi river instead of the poison, he said. So question is, we are born in the Prakriti now. We are all in the Prakriti, isn't it? So, how do we get released from this Prakriti? There is only one way, that the only way Krishna is saying here, pull yourself out of Prakriti as much as possible. Pull out of the Prakriti as much as possible. Don't go along with the Prakriti. And because we don't have much freedom in all these things, it's wrong to think that everything is in our control. It is not in our control. That's the point Krishna is making. That pull out from the Prakriti and know very well that this is Prakriti. So that means once you know Prakriti's nature, then you deal with Prakriti accordingly. You know very well in Prakriti all these things exist. What all? Mind, body, mind, intelligence, ego. It's all a part of Prakriti. Sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, part of Prakriti. You can't do anything about it. And you come and got trapped in this Prakriti. In this Prakriti. And you can't do anything with any of those things. Therefore, Krishna is saying here that in that situation, know very well that you are inside the Prakriti, which is combination of all these things. But all the time, remain in the platform of the knowledge. Remain in the platform of the knowledge. And therefore, there you have the freedom. Cultivating that knowledge, you have the freedom. To know that you are Purusha, not Prakriti, that freedom you have. To know that you are Purusha, not Prakriti, that freedom you have got. And jump out of the Prakriti from this. And to come out of the Prakriti. That is all we have to do. We have to do that. There is no other way. Don't play with Prakriti and try to rectify Prakriti and make it proper to suit. That's not going to happen. That's the point Krishna is saying. You come to the Prakriti, now you have to jump out of the Prakriti. How to jump out of the Prakriti? Knowing very well that you are Purusha, not Prakriti. That is the way to come out of Prakriti. To know that you are not Prakriti, you are Purusha, that's the way you have to come out of the Prakriti. That's the point Krishna is making here. That's exactly the point in this chapter. How to come out of the Satyurajasa Tamasa? To know that Satyurajasa Tamasa is in the Prakriti, not in me. That's the way you have to come out of the Prakriti. That's the way to escape from the Prakriti. So if you have got that realization, that and not to identify with the Prakriti anymore, then whatever faults and whatever problems are there in the Prakriti, that faults and problems will not affect you. If you have followed this route, that's the only way to come out. Not only that, whoever pulls out of the Prakriti and stays himself in the platform of the soul, in his identity, even if there is some problems in his Prakriti, even those problems will become this is a very important point in the Bhagavad Gita. Only when you see the depth of this understanding, you will see the depth of the thought power of the rishis. You have to understand from that. What they are saying is, to escape from the Prakriti, the only option you have is to go towards Purusha and identify with Purusha. If you identify with Purusha, you cannot get, even though there are problems in the Prakriti, those problems will not be cause any difficulties. That is one thing. But one who has managed to escape from the Prakriti, and he has come to the platform of the soul. And even if there is some problem in the Prakriti, they will not cause any disturbance in the world. How? That is what is explained here. Then, you know Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi is generally known as a person who creates trouble, isn't he? He will go and tell Kamsa about Krishna. And he will go and tell Krishna about Kamsa. He does this business all the time. Therefore, Narada Muni has got a bad reputation that way for creating trouble between people. And similarly, with Ravana also, he will do the same thing. And he has done with Hiranyaksha also. He has done with Hiranyakashipu also. So, all through Puranams, in all Puranams you will see, Sri Narada Maharshi's role is not always very gentlemanlike. When you come to Krishnavataram, you will see this much better, what he did all there. Krishna didn't invite Sri Narada Maharshi to come for Krishnavataram. Narada Maharshi knew this. So he decided, I will get myself invited. That's what he did. Some people do like that, isn't it? If you don't invite them, they'll make themselves invited. And they'll come and they will get involved in everything. And in everything they will take the initiative and they'll become the friend of everything. And people will think, oh, he has been invited, he must be the chief guest or something like that. But so similarly, Sri Narada Maharshi did that. Krishna didn't invite Sri Narada Maharshi for Krishnavataram appearance in Krishna. But Narada Maharshi did everything. Anyway, so Narada Maharshi has a reputation who have, in all through Puranams you will see that he creates problem between people. Between Vasudeva and Devaki and Kamsa also. He goes and tells Kamsa about Vasudeva and Devaki. And Kamsa, knowing very well Kamsa's nature. And what did Kamsa do? Called them all, brought all the six children and killed them. Isn't it? So what is this, what a service Narada Maharshi has done? Was it something very interesting? So when you start thinking about Narada Maharshi, isn't it? Similarly, another personality, Durvasava. We all have, people keep away from Durvasava, isn't it? As much as they know. So, you can see, all these personalities, Narada Maharshi, Durvasava and everything, they are all realized souls, isn't it? Great personalities are there. But, if Narada Maharshi creates any problem, or Durvasava create any problem, ultimately you will see, it will be for the benefit of the world. It will come out like that. They may do a lot of nonsense. It may appear to be nonsense to us. When you read the Puranam, it will appear as though it's some nonsense they are doing. Why create trouble like this? But finally, what you see is, it is the benefit of the world. That is the most important thing. So, that basically what they will do is, they will smash this ego of the personalities. Durvasava does that, and equally Narada Maharshi also does that, and will be benefit for the rest of the world. So, always you will notice, if Durvasava curses someone, the after effect will always be very good. So, you may ask the question, Durvasava is known for his anger, isn't it? He's known for his anger. And when he went to heavenly planets, you know that story, isn't it? And the Apsaras women were making the garland in the heavenly planets. And Indra was sitting on top of the elephant and practicing his different weapons, what he has to use. So he was doing that. And the Apsaras women were making garlands. Durvasava came that way. As soon as they saw Durvasava, knowing very well Durvasava's nature, what did they do? They made the, whatever garlands they have made, they took it to Durvasava gave it to him and paid their obeisances to him and quietly walked away from there. So that they did not, you don't know how Durvasa will react any minute. What he will do next moment, you don't know. So knowing all these things, knowing Durvasa's nature, the Apsaras woman didn't want to get cursed. If Durvasa says, go and live in the earthly planet for 100 years, get some low class body and live here. They have no choice. They don't want to leave their heavenly planet's comforts there and come here. So what did they do? They went and said this to Durvasa, and Durvasa took the garland and they all left. And then he came and then he saw Indra was sitting there. And he threw the garland to Indra. Indra took the garland, and out of his casual behavior, not showing that proper respect, Indra put the garland on top of the elephant's head. And Indra did not offer any respect, and not only that, the garland fell off from the head. And what happened was, when the garland was on the head, the bees were coming, because the flowers were very, the smell was so strong that the bees were attracted, they came. When the bees came, they started giving trouble to the elephant. They start getting through the ears, getting through the nostrils, everything. And they were biting the elephant. Elephant got upset. So elephant put its trunk on the top and pulled that garland from the head, put it on the ground, and with the feet crushed it. That was enough for Durvasa. Durvasa, what did Durvasa say? Durvasa said, what you have done is, he couldn't bear it. Just for this, the punishment he gave was very heavy. Isn't it? What was the punishment? Punishment was, you all become old people. Go to old age home now. All of you. He said. So the whole heavenly planets became like an old age home. Imagine the whole planet an old age home. What will happen? Who will pay for the pension? Like the government is asking. They are worried now, are they not? That everybody is getting old. Now they are saying it's becoming a problem. So imagine Durvasa did that to the heavenly planets and told them that you cannot do this. They said, you all become old, and they all became old. All of them. Some of them couldn't walk, some of them couldn't speak, and continuously always, you know, how the old age home, old people will be. What we do is we put them all in one home and say that no world will see them. And when you come to the London and walk through the city, everywhere only young people. Oh, amazing, what an amazing world this is. Only young people in this world, you start thinking. But actually the reality is you are hiding everyone. The truth is being hidden somewhere else, isn't it? So this is the falsity of this world, what we do. So anyway, here, Krishna is saying here that you may ask the question, how come Durvasa does not get rid of his anger? You may ask that question. Isn't it? Then, by nature itself, is anger. He is full of anger. So, he was born out of anger. You know that. The birth of Durvasa itself is from anger. Lord Shiva's anger came out in the form of Durvasa. So, there are some people like that in this world. You can see there. They will get angry very quickly. Very quickly they get angry. And, so, we are hearing now things from the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and everything. And those people who are getting very angry, and they are materialistic nature, some of them, sometimes. And when you look at them carefully, very closely if you judge them, you will see they are not selfish people. It's just that there's a nature in them. They get angry about it. But that what it is indicating is that even very great mahalpas, great personalities, they can get angry. They can get angry. Prabhupada used to get angry sometimes. He used to get angry. But what the difference is, that their anger will always be for the benefit. It's not that because they get angry, that you cannot judge them based on that anger. That is the point Krishna is saying here. That Swabhavam is like that. Swabhavam won't go. But because they are in their Swarupam, even in their Swabhavam something happens, that will not be taken seriously. That cannot be taken seriously. That is the important point. So, when Vivekananda came to, after coming back from his lecture tour in America, when he came back, he was speaking in the Vivekananda College in Chennai. He was talking to the students at that time. When he was talking to them, then someone who was sitting next to him, he said something to him in the podium where they were sitting, and he was speaking. Somebody who was sitting next to him said something to him, and he got very angry with him. He spoke very rudely back to him. Vivekananda got very angry and spoke to him. So someone else who was sitting next to him said to Vivekananda that, Vivekananda, why do you get so angry? Is it proper for a sannyasi to get angry? He said, yes, it's correct. What you're saying is right. I shouldn't get angry. But anger came. What can I do? He said, anger came. In other words, what he was saying was, yes, what Vivekananda was saying was his meaning there. What he said was that anger has come. In other words, it is in the prakriti, not in me. That clear separation was there in him. That is his greatness. The clear separation was inside. He didn't identify. Anger came. That is in the prakriti. That is not in me. That is the way. That means always they stay outside prakriti. That is what is important. So that staying away from prakriti is that how they live. But anger doesn't go. It is in the subhava. It was in his subhava. It was in his nature. So, but there are so many things like that in their prakriti, and that will not do any damage. That will not do any damage to this world. So therefore, important thing is not to give up anger, but to withdraw from prakriti. That is more important. You don't have to try to give up anger. That is not going to happen. That is in your prakriti. It is in your prakriti, it is there. That is where it is coming from. It's not coming from the self, from Atma. It's not coming from you. You are misunderstanding that it is in you and you are getting upset about it. No, it is coming from the prakriti. And prakriti is of these three modes of nature, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. And according to the modes, it will create different emotions in us. According to our vasanas, will create different emotions in us. But to know that it is in the prakriti and to pull out of prakriti is what we have to do. Not to try to control anger management and pain management and all other kind of management. That doesn't work. Doesn't work. This is what is expected of us. That's the point Krishna is mentioning here. Because important thing is pulling out of prakriti. Because in prakriti, sattugunam is there, rajogunam is there, tamogunam is there. And there are certain people, they will never get angry. Have you seen that? There are some people like that in this world. And you start wondering, why are they like this? And we are getting angry all the time. And you feel a kind of, you feel inferior at that time, isn't it? That's no meaning. That doesn't seem right. Because, we look at the politicians, they never get angry. Have you seen them? They never get angry. You bombard them with all abuses. And these people who interview them in the television, they have a big problem. Because they won't answer you direct, number one. Never they will answer you directly to the question. Isn't it? Always they will go in this roundabout way. You ask something, they will answer something else. And they will be very calm and cool about it. You can see this. If you carefully observe, you will see these things. So, they don't get angry. And even if you beat them, they won't get angry. You beat them, they won't get angry. Then, they are very much like what Jesus said. If somebody beats you on this cheek, they'll show you the other cheek. Like that. They are like that, isn't it? Then inside they will say, I'll take care of you later. When I get that opportunity to do what I want to do. So, who is better? The man who gets angry, but who doesn't have in his, who he is able to free himself from the prakriti, he is better than a person like this, whom you get here. So even in them, even in spite of that, they won't get angry with you, these politicians, isn't it? So in which category will you put them, these politicians who don't get angry? Some of them are amazing actually. And you start thinking, then how come they have such control? See that they have been put such questions to them by these people who interview them. They ask such awkward questions, but they are so calm and cool while answering them. This you can observe very clearly in all the you know, interviews of the politicians and all that, how they can maintain that. But inside, you know, it's burning inside. That they, so there are, so what we have to understand is that spirituality is not behaviorism. They are different things. Don't mix up these two things. Behaviorism is in the Prakriti. Spirituality is knowledge. Spirituality is knowledge. Behaviorism is in the Prakriti. Spirituality transcends behaviorism. Behaviorism is completely a different thing. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It's nothing to do with spirituality. Because we mix up spirituality and behaviorism, we start thinking, oh, all these politicians must be very advanced in spiritually. Isn't it? You start thinking, seeing there, but actually they are such dull-headed people that they're thinking that this life of political life, what they're leading, politics, is the whole purpose of life. That itself shows their dull-headedness, isn't it? So, spirituality transcends behavior. Spirituality transcends character and goes beyond everything. Spirituality is beyond all these things. That is the most important thing to recognize first. Because when you study this chapter, these three modes of material nature, finally what conclusion do we have to arrive? The conclusion is this, that modes of nature cannot touch me. This firm concept, conviction, has to come when we finish this chapter. Modes of nature cannot touch me. It is in my prakriti, it is there, not in me. That is why Krishna said, when he said this in the 13th chapter of the 11th canto. If you look there, you will see there. This is the realization you have to get from this chapter. Not analyze sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, everything and start trying to pull out each one of them properly. No, that will not work. Krishna's point is, if you look at that 13th chapter, he mentions that, the first verse itself. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Sattvam Rajastama Iti Gunam Buddher Nachal Mana. That's it. Sattvena Nyadamo Hanyal Sattvam Sattvena Chai Mahi Sattvam Sattvena Nyadamo Hanyal Sattvam Sattvena Chai Mahi. Then he mentions there Sattvam Rajastama Iti Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. These three modes of nature, Idigunam, is in the Buddhi. When Krishna says Buddhi, it means the mind, everything is included in that. Buddhi means in your thoughts. That means mind, intelligence, your body, everywhere is included in that. So sometimes when they use these words, you have to know it refers to a lot more things than just not Buddhi alone. Don't compartmentalize it always. Always see this as one unit. Body, mind, intelligence, they are all together. So when it says, na buddher, buddher na chal mana, it is in the buddhi, means it's in the body, mind and intelligence, not in the atma. Not in the atma. That is the conclusion we have to come to after finishing this chapter. So Krishna says here, so that, so it goes beyond everything, goes beyond everything. You may also have noticed the certain great personalities whom, if you have come across, if you look at certain people, you don't have to go and personally meet them. But if you read through the books about certain personalities, you will see that even if you, their nature is that sometimes some people come to see them. And these Mahatmas, they have some nature, they don't like them. Some people they don't like. And they will abuse them. Abuse them means they will fire them heavily. Criticize them and fire them heavily. And they will go. But they won't stop, they'll come again. And they will again get fired by the Mahatmas. There are many instances like that. If you study the history of so many great personalities, you will see this. That their visitors, they'll keep coming and they'll get fired and they'll go home. And they'll come back again and they'll get fired again. And if you ask them why you go again, he doesn't like you, he's firing you all the time for everything what you have done in this world. He says, I enjoy it, getting fired. They'll say like this. The reason is that, that they'll go back to him at the same time. That person is not thinking that he is upset with me. He is saying certain things what I have done or what is in my prakriti, that is what he is saying. I shouldn't take it seriously. That understanding they have. That's necessary. That's necessary. So once that individuality or personality or ego, once that has gone away, then you are at liberty to live in this world whichever way you want. So where is the problem? Problem is we get hurt. Where do you get hurt? In the ego, isn't it? So at that ego is another manifestation of our selfishness inside. So that is our only problem, swarthada or ahankaram or ego. And once that ego has dropped out, then whatever problems exist in the prakriti, and that will all naturally get sorted out. You see, that is where the problem is. Problem is in the ego. Ego is what is experiencing our whole problems of this world. But once that ego has gone, then the prakriti won't disturb you anymore. It's only the problems are happening because of the ego inside. So what is important is to get rid of that ego from inside. That is the most important thing. Oh, in other words, that ego comes in the form of selfishness and self-interest. In other words, personality, individuality, all other things. And everything will come out in that way. So practically what Krishna is saying is that it is this false ego that is binding us with three modes of nature. Otherwise modes of nature cannot act. Only because of the presence of the ego inside that the three modes of material nature we feel is affecting us. Sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam and everything. The moment you free yourself from the personality or from all this is important, because when we say about jiva, we keep talking about jiva. Jiva is that individuality. So jivatvam or individuality or ego, what personality what we refer to, when that dissolves, when that disappears, this connection with the modes of nature is broken. Straight away, it is broken. All the three modes of nature will bind jiva. It cannot bind the atma. It can only bind the jiva. Isn't it? And all three of them will do that. Sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. All three of them will bind the jiva. Will bind the jiva. You know this story we have spoken before also. A man was going through a forest with a loads of money in his cash with him. Three thieves saw him, caught him. One thief tied him down. Another thief took away all the money. One of them beat him up also. But one thief out of the three, he stood there and kept looking at him without doing anything. Out of the three, one stood and looked at him. Another one tied him down. And third one beat him up. One tied him down. And a third one stood there and watched him. It's a very nice story to show the three modes of nature, how it works. After a long time, this person who was standing there and watching this whole thing, one of the three thieves, he came and untied everything. All the rope, what he was tied with, it untied them. He took him out from there and brought him up to the border of the forest and told him, "Now you can go. Now you can go," he said. Out of the three thieves. One thief beat him up. Another thief tied him down. The third one finally released him and took him out up to the border and let him go. So when he was let free, that businessman who had lost all his money, he says to him, you saved me from death because one person beat me up, other person tied me down, but you didn't do anything. Instead, you have now saved me instead of keeping me there. You brought me out and saved me. So you please come with me, he said. Please come with me. I want to help you because what you have done for that. To my village, he said. So this man who brought him up to the border, he says to him, no, I won't come with you. I have no entry there because I am also a thief like that, he said. Because I am also a thief like that. So he is also a thief. The other two is also a thief. What this example is saying here is that the person who beat him up is the tamoguni one, tamogunam. And the one who tied him down is the rajogunam one. And the one who released him is the satugunam one. This is how these three modes work. Krishna mentions that, isn't it? Sattvam, he mentions there. About Sattvagunam, what did he say? Prakashakam anamayam. Tatra sattvam nirmalatval prakashakam anamayam. Suga sankhena badnadi jnana sankhena chanaka. So that's what it is. This story can give you a deeper understanding of that, how these three modes work. Tamogunam is the one which has beaten you. Tamogunam will do that. It will beat you down. So when Tamogunam gets in, you can't do anything. Go like that. That's all. Till he stops beating. Show your back. You can beat me as much as you want. That is Tamogunam's nature. There's nothing you can do about it. Rajogunam will tie you down, won't allow you to escape. That's what Rajogunam does. Rajogunam is better than Tamogunam because in Rajogunam, you have to come to Rajogunam before come to Sattvagunam. In Rajogunam, the problem is that it will get you busy with millions of things in this world. Will never allow you to come to Sattvagunam. That is Rajogunam's nature. Because Rajogunam knows if you get Sattvagunam, you will not come back again. Because Sattvagunam will take you in another direction. So Rajogunam will tie you down. Tamogunam will beat you up. Sattvagunam, when they have gone, they will quietly untie you and bring you and leave you there. But they won't come with you. Won't come with you. So Sattvagunam will help. That is what Krishna is saying there. Tatra sattvam nirmalatval prakashakam anabhayam. But Krishna put the caution there. Jnanam, jnana sankhena badnadi, isn't it? Sukha sankhena badnadi, jnana sankhena chanaka. Jnana sankhena chanaka. Sukha sankhena badnadi. This sattvagunam is also a little bit dodgy that way. It will make you feel everything is okay. And once you start feeling that, you won't think about escaping from here. You will see it's okay, sattvagunam is there, why worry? That's more than enough for me. You will start thinking like that. That's what he said here. So, with either of the three modes, Sattvagunam, Rajogunam or Tamogunam, you cannot enter into the field of the truth. Field of the truth. Realize the truth. But Sattvagunam can let you free. So, therefore, Sattvagunam can help you to come to Satsangam. That's one advantage with the Sattvagunam. It can help you to come to Satsangam. It can help you to go into association with the great personalities, Mahatmas. But, so therefore, bringing a Rajoguni or Tamoguni into Satsangam is no use. One who is in Rajogunam and Tamogunam, if he comes to Satsangam, it is no use. Because it's a practical thing. That only in Satugunam, that thing will work. Satsangam will work. One Mahatma said this one day. He took somebody, one of his friends whom he went to school with and whom he met much later. The school friend left school, went away, started working in the city and making a lot of money and naturally he was very much in the mood of Rajogunam has entered into him very much. Finally, when he came to his village, one day this person, Mahatma, he went into the spiritual path.
But when he met your old friend, you can't say anything to him, can you? After all, you are his school friend. So he told him that there is a satsangam, I am going for satsangam, come with me, he said. So he took him with him, thinking that he will get some benefit. So when they went to the satsangam, he sent and sat there whole time. While going, after the satsangam was over, these two people were going home. The two friends, they were going home. They went for a big Mahalpa satsangam, they went for that. When they were going back, this friend who has come from the city, he's a school friend. He has taken him to satsangam thinking that it will benefit him. With that idea, he has taken him there. And he sat the whole time there. And while going back, he says to him who brought him in there, he says to him, how much money does he make from this? This was his question. This was the only question he had to ask after sitting for 3 hours and hearing Bhagavad-gita or whatever they have spoken. He heard all that. When he was going back, the only question he had was, how much money has he made from this? He says that. So this person says, his friend who took him there, he says, I was just thinking about my own destiny, what I have done. He says, there is no point, I will never do this mistake again. He said, doing this. So he didn't get anything. I wasted his time 3 hours. He could have gone and enjoyed something else, what he wanted to do. So only, sattvagunam only you can hear and get the message right, correctly. And sattvagunam only can or make you operate in that center, what we talked about kodastham yesterday, isn't it? And rajogunam and tamogunam will put us in the wrong place. You may be hearing Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and everything, but everything will go into the wrong place instead of going to the right spot, isn't it? So in everything, they will become very negative afterwards. You can see this practically yourself. You have the experience. Sometimes you bring some people bring their family members, thinking that, oh, they are my family members, let them get benefited. And you bring, and they come and sit there, and they will see that after satsangam you go, they will ask some awkward questions like that. And even if you had some little faith, that will also go with that. They will take it out. So sometimes be careful also when you have to bring somebody, especially very relatives whom you thought that they require some help spiritually, and you thought that maybe by hearing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam they will get benefited. The reaction will be a total negativity from their side, because they have no faith in anything. They'll come, they will listen, and finally they'll put you in a very, they'll disturb your faith also in the Shastra, whatever little you have, that also they will disturb and they'll go. They have not done it deliberately, but that is their gunam is working in that way. Tamogunam. So, everything they will be, whatever you say, they will think in the opposite way. So, in whichever, suppose like in the tennis court, you sit and stand in one side of the court, they'll go and stand in the opposite side of the court. It will be like that. So, and if you go and sit next to them, you will see how it affects you. You will feel weak. And they are tamoguni. Tamogunis are every time very skeptical about everything. And also, their outlook will be always negative. They're always very negative. And everything, they'll be very negative in this world. So that is the problem with the tamogunam. Tamogunam does that. And in satsangam also, sometimes you can experience that. That's like it's like bacteria. It will completely de-energize you. Whatever little energy you have, you will lose that with that association. What happens? So, we are coming to satsangam with the hope that I will develop some bhakti, I'll develop some jnanam, I'll develop some vairagyam, and to get some inspiration from that. But when you have heard all these things, and when you're going back, this virus of this tamoguni, if he has come with you, he will get into the car and he will say to you that that virus will infect you. Well, he will ask you a few questions. That's enough. Next Sunday you won't also be able to come.
you take all your strength away, whatever you had inside. Because by nature that tamogunam will work like that. What can you do? It happens very, very often, these things. Happens very often. They will say like this, oh, all these things Krishna is saying, it's easy for him to sit and say all these things, not practical. That's the first thing they will say. Nothing is practical for them. Nothing is practical. That means rishis have spoken all these things, Shuka Brahma Rishi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Krishna and all other acharyas, they have spoken, not practical. Nothing is practical. We make that decision and they have to say one or two words like that, that's enough. And you have to start thinking then, oh, why should I waste my time if it's not practical? He's saying it's not practical. Everybody is saying it's not practical. Why should I waste my time? You start going in that direction. That means even that little faith what you have got in Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or Krishna's words, that will also go. That's a kind of a virus that infects at that time. And that is the nature of the tamogunam. Tamogunam's nature that is. Now this is interesting because, you know, when you study these three modes of nature, this is our life, isn't it? And you will see. Now, this is about a tamogunam people, what we have talked about. How does the rajogunam work? You know how that works? That is more interesting than the tamogunam. The man in the rajogunam, if suppose he has come for a salsangam, what the rajoguni does is, he will say, we have to organize something much bigger than this. The room is not big enough. We need to have some big hall somewhere booked. And let's start collection now, fundraising straight away. This is all that rajogunam nature comes out. This is how they have come to hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Instead of getting the message from the Shastram properly, how the rajogunam and tamogunam take you into different ways. Tamogunam means big disturbance. What he does is, because he has no faith, and that tamogunam is so deeply inside, therefore he cannot inspire anyone, nor he is able to share with anything what he is hearing from the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Instead, looks at it in a totally negative way. Totally negative way he looks at it. This is all the modes of nature does. It's not his fault. That modes of nature, that's what he has got with him. So, like Kaliya, he will act in the same way. And he will spread his virus to others. That tamogunam virus. And that will be like this, that whatever faith you had, even if you had taken Krishna consciousness seriously, and you wanted to advance in the spiritual path, he will make sure that you don't go in that route. You want to come in his route. That is the tamogunam route. He'll make sure it happens. The rajogunam man, he is in a different category altogether. What he does there, he says, so he'll say, ah, this is very good idea, he will say. Why there is no tickets? We should have tickets for satsangam. £5, I'm sure everybody can pay £5, isn't it? Why shouldn't it be free? It should not be free. Everything costs money in this world. We have to pay for the hall, we have to pay for this, we have to pay for that. And so we have to make charges for that. And then he will start like the government does, he will start with £5. And then after 3 months, no, it will make £10 now. It's gone up. Everything, not based on what is called RRP, but based on inflation, they will say. So, rajogunam mind works in that direction. This is all rajogunam. Whenever you feel that in spiritual life you have to make money from people, you can take it, a strong presence of rajogunam in them. That is where it's coming from. That's where it is coming from. Then what he will say is, some of them, they have to organize everything. Salsangam should be organized. And they will run around for all that, organizing things. That will be their main business, organizing. They'll be running around here, there, everywhere. And they won't have time for listening. That is what rajogunam does. And some people, they have been organizing for 10, 15 years. They never had time to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. There are people like that in this world, you can observe. They are so busy with the management and so busy with running the institution. And they are supposed to be spreading the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you ask them, have you read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam? We didn't get time. We were busy with managing. Because facilitating everybody, that is our main business, they say. Facilitator, giving a taster session, I believe. This is what I am doing to give taste for everybody. But I am not tasting myself, giving tasting to everybody else. All this nonsense is going on. This is all in the spiritual field at the moment. And after 10-15 years organizing and organizing, not one verse in the Bhagavatam they have heard so far. To such an extent they were busy with the management. And they will be there everywhere, in every satsangam. They will be running around organizing tables, chairs, mic and all other accessories, whatever you need for that. And they'll do everything, but they can't hear. That's their main weakness, isn't it? So they are in the that Rajogunam category. So Krishna uses them also in the way Krishna wants it. He uses them also. So Rajogunam is Pravritti Pradhanam. It is more concerned about the Pravritti side. Tamogunam is Nidra Alasyam Pramadam. Krishna mentions that, isn't it? In the verse you can see. Nidra Alasyam Pramadam. That means everything negativity. Negativity in everything. Because everything whatever you say, they will take it in the negative way. They'll take it in the negative way. Opposite way, in other words. Nothing will be of any use to them. It will not be of any use to them. So, that is where we are. These three modes of nature. So, I think it's 6:10. We'll stop and we'll have a short gift and